As obesity rates continue to rise in this country, many doctors recommend that we eat fewer processed foods and do more exercise to stay healthy. But a growing number of people have come to believe that this isn't enough, that to be truly healthy, we should eat as our hunter-gatherer ancestors did. But what did our ancestors eat? And Gibbons traveled around the world to look for answers by visiting the few remaining tribes that still live off the land. Her story, The Evolution of Diet, is in the September issue of National Geographic, and I'm very pleased that she joins us now. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, the paleo diet sounds to me like the Atkins diet. Is it anything like any of the diets that our ancestors had?
That's a really good question. I think it is very much the Atkins diet, and it focuses on a lot of meat. And what I found in my travels around the world, mainly looking at different foragers and interviewing anthropologists, is that while people everywhere want a lot of meat, they don't actually get a lot of meat. What I found that was really interesting is when I was with Chimani foragers in the Amazon, the guys would go out hunting every day trying to get meat, and they'd come back every day almost every day without any meat, and they'd be out there for hours on end, even with rifles. And we realized, you know, it's really hard to get meat, especially during the rainy season or the dry season. So man, the hunter, often relies on woman, the gatherer. Mm-hmm. The women were gathering the plants and the tuberous vegetables and the cassava that people relied on for their calories.
So if we wanted to have a truly paleo diet, would we have to forage for our food and then eat only local produce because we can't forage for citrus fruits or bananas in our area?
That's right. You forage for what's in your habitat. And this is the other thing, why anthropologists got grumpy when I interviewed them about the paleo diet. One of the questions they asked was, well, which human ancestor? You know, we've been evolving for 6 million years with big brains for the last 2 million years. That's our genus Homo. Homo sapiens showed up about 200,000 years ago. Most people think of the paleo diet as something that's like a Neanderthal caveman diet with big slabby, you know, big bloody slabs of meat. The reality is, if you look at modern humans when they came out of Africa and spread around the globe in the last 100,000 years, they had to adapt to many different habitats. So some people did eat a lot of meat. The Inuit up in the Arctic eat a huge amount of meat because that's all there is, really. There aren't many plants. The only plants they get are from the greens in the stomachs of the seals they eat. But there are other people that eat mostly a vegetarian diet. If you think of the ancient Mayans in the Americas, they ate a lot. The current diet for them is still a lot of beans and corn. The Chimani relied on a lot of plants, plantains mainly that they grew in their little garden patches, cassava, that's a big sort of tasteless, starchy plant they eat. When I was in Papua New Guinea years ago, they relied on the starchy pith of the sago palm. It has no flavor, but it provides a lot of calories, and that's what they ate. So you see totally diverse plants that people are eating. Meat sometimes in good seasons, but in the rainy or the dry seasons when it's tough, they end up eating a lot of berries or fallback foods.
How many of
South Africa. Yeah, go ahead.
No,
yeah.
Go ahead. Continue.
Nuts. The Bushmen of South Africa, Conjono nuts up in the high mountains, apricots of all things, wild apricots. This is the Kyrgyz of the high mountains of Afghanistan where our photographer Matthew Paley traveled.
Well, they're a nomadic tribe.
How many
of these different tribes exist and how pure can we consider them? How close to our ancestors are they? Because pretty much all of them have come in contact with civilization, haven't they?
Absolutely. They're not living fossils. That's exactly right. What they show us is a nomadic lifestyle. So very few true hunter-gatherers are left. The Hadza in Tanzania, where our photographer went, and a few other tribes, very few are left that only live by hunting and gathering anymore, some in the Amazon. Most now are beginning to add a few market foods or a few foods they grow. So the Chimani, I spent 2 days going in a dugout canoe up a river in the Amazon with a photographer and a graduate student that we went with, Asher Rosinger. And by the time we got up a couple of days up the river into the Amazon, these people were only eating what they hunted, they gathered, and the few plants they grew that they've been doing for a couple hundred years they've been growing. Boats would come up and give them some cooking oil. They could buy cooking oil, salt, and sugar. Those are the first things. So sugar, salt, and fat, those are the first things that people buy. Those are the things we get too much of in our Western diet.
These people in the Amazon, and I imagine also in Tanzania, are have to deal with deforestation, don't they, and shrinking areas in which they live. Has that meant that their food sources have grown scarcer over the years?
Yes, it's harder for the hunting, and this is one of the things we factored in, that yes, there's some logging going on, and that scares the animals away, and that makes it harder to hunt. They all complain about that, but they have rifles today. And our hunter-gatherer ancestors had to hunt with stone tools or spears, no rifles. So, you know, that couldn't have been easy. One of my sources, Allison Brooks, is an anthropologist. She said, you know, people, when they think of the paleo diet, they think of hunters and people standing out there going into the savanna holding their stone tools, and the antelopes just run into their stone tools. It's just not that easy. In every single group, they just don't get meat all that often. Now, are these people today a good proxy for the past? Yes, we think so, because many of them are living still a nomadic lifestyle similar to these people. That's why anthropologists are studying their diets today, and they're in the same places. So they do show for us the real diversity in diet and the diversity in adaptation that were there before agriculture was invented. They give us the range of the kinds of foods people ate, which is really interesting. I mean, there were really radical forms of humans that ate very different diets than ours, that ate mostly grass, and before the big brain began to expand 10 million years ago, they were eating grassy plants and the little animals that ate them occasionally. But with the big brain, we had to then have a higher quality diet, and we shifted to things that made it easier for us to get the calories out of our food. So that was cooking, for example.
Did you find any of these people who ate the equivalent of the paleo diet that we find in these cookbooks?
No, not really. But I'm thinking like paleo cocktail. They get rid of, you know, similar. But the problem is today the meat you get isn't the same as the meat they got. It's going to the grocery store also takes a lot less energy than their lifestyle. These hunter-gatherers spend many, many hours hunting or gathering or digging up the tubers or climbing into trees to get the nuts.
So they're getting exercise.
So much more energy. Yes, they get a huge amount of exercise. That's why they look healthy. So maybe we should talk about that. Why do people want to emulate a paleo diet? It's because they think there's a disconnect between our bodies today, what we've evolved to eat, and what we're actually eating on the Western diet, as if we're in Stone Age bodies trapped in a fast food world. And if you look at hunter-gatherers eating diets rich in nutrients from the plants that they eat and the nuts and some meat, they don't suffer from Western diseases like diabetes, heart disease, those kinds of diseases that many of us struggle from that are our biggest killers. They don't get cancer much. So people think, oh, we'll just emulate what they eat. But the problem is that doesn't take into account that we have different gut bacteria today that has adapted to eating other food. We also are still evolving. Those of us who've had farmers as ancestors have adapted to eating, for example, dairy. You have genes that help you get the sugars out of milk if you come from a background of people who've been dairying for a long time. Now, if you don't have that gene, you don't want to drink milk, obviously, because it gives you diarrhea. But we are adapted to some of our newer foods.
But is that what happened with the Inuit who, as you point out, have a mostly meat diet? There's another people you studied who pretty much live off of fish and things from the water, the Rajau of Malaysia. Have their bodies adapted? Could I live healthfully on an Inuit diet?
You could. I think it would be very difficult for you or for either of us to live on an Inuit diet. All that meat would give us heart disease unless we spent all day hunting like they did. And even today, I don't know that we would have the genes that would protect us from such a large diet of meat. They need that very high diet in meat and lots of calories and food they can get energy from rapidly to thermoregulate in the Arctic. That is an adaptation that has developed over thousands of years in the Inuit. They're actually in a lot of trouble today because they're not nearly as active as they used to be, and Western foods are creeping into their diets, and they're beginning to have real problems with diabetes and heart disease. And so this is the sad story. Wherever these hunter-gatherers begin to eat the Western diet, settle in towns, become less active, they end up with Western diseases.
A listener wonders, how do we even know what the flora and fauna were 2 million years ago?
They're wonderful tools to tell us what the flora and fauna were. Today, it's not enough to find fossils of a human ancestor. You have to put it in context, and that can be done by first you look at the bones, and then you can pull the isotopes out of the bones or out of the soils near the fossils, and those can tell you what kind of plants are there. There's fossil pollen that's there, the kinds of plants, their photosynthetic pathway, what kind of plants were in that environment will tell you whether it was mostly forest or whether it was more open savanna. So we really do, we're beginning to get a really good picture of the kinds of plants and animals that were in the habitats where our ancestors lived. And they vary. They vary tremendously depending on which species of human or human ancestor was there. And that's another great part of the story, is how the diet changed over the last 4 million years.
And how we have changed in adjusting to it.
Our guts have gotten smaller as when around 2.7 million years ago, the first stone tools show up in the fossil record. Our first big technological revolution, if you will.
And we got to leave it there, unfortunately. The article is The Evolution of Diet. It's in the September issue of National Geographic. Ann Gibbons, thank you so much for being on our show today.
You're welcome. Thank you.